This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's the drive!
Into Corbin, right up the middle. Reggie Corbin.
Way to the drive!
Has Illinois' first touchdown of the year.
High drive to left field.
He's into the end zone.
The drive and the two.
The sack coming. Hanson all over it.
The drive of the game.
Peters looking to throw. Look at end zone.
Let's go for a little ride.
Hey, it's The Drive. Lante, Derek Piper. I'm Lante. He's Derek Piper.
What's up?
Trevor Valise is here. You heard him on the weather. I just thought about that. Illini would be the perfect spot for Illinois-UConn, which is coming up, of course, this Saturday. You just heard the highlights courtesy of BTN, Big Ten Network. We weren't sure. Maybe a lot of you joined us yesterday only because of the Cardinals game ran late. Hopefully you did. We had a lot of good stuff. But today we are going to continue to recap that Illinois win, get you ready for UConn a little bit. We're going to go around the world of Big Ten football today and kind of look at some of the other teams, especially in the West, those teams that Illinois will face this season, and then a couple of teams in the East, a couple that put up big, big numbers, points, that is. So we'll talk about those. Mikey Dudek, as he will most every Tuesday of Illinois football games, is going, well, every Tuesday, to be honest with you. I was just thinking about the bye weeks. But Mikey Dudek will join us, former Illini, of course, wide receiver. I finally had the chance to meet Mikey Dudek this last Saturday. I also met his parents, Rick and Lynn, had a chance to visit with them, and they're super nice people. So excited to visit with Mikey. Now that we have a game under our belts, and we'll be able to talk to Mikey about that. Are you still kind of feeling good, Derek, about the win Saturday?
Yeah, it's fun to think about.
Yeah, I agree.
It's still on my mind and still wanting to break it down. And then, of course, looking across the Big Ten West, excited to do around the world for sure. But it's been a while since we've been able to go – I don't know if nitty-gritty is the right word to say, but just to continue to have it on the brain and want to talk about it.
I think nitty-gritty is perfect because it seems like the last few years, the reason we haven't is because why do it? There's no reason to when you're 3-9 yeah. or 2-10, for instance, that I break down or that we break down an opponent that you're about ready to face, or you break down the game that you just lost 63-0. So I think it's great that we are going to be able to do that. And, of course, we'll get you ready this week for UConn. And, again, always excited to talk to Mikey Dudek. We've got NFL football starting this week, especially Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll be in Colorado Thursday. I'll be in Vail. Trying to find a TV set for the Bears and the Packers. Now, I've already promised that I will not make, I will not do my trip around the NFL. Does that make sense? That's hard, though. But, you know, the good news is I'll be back in my house by noon on Sunday to watch all the games.
There you go.
But I've got to at least, I've got to tell myself, go enjoy Colorado, enjoy Vail, and don't worry about a stinking football game that you can DVR and watch when I get back.
You should be able to pull that off.
I think
here's
so.
Here's Trevor and I will hold down the fort down
yeah.
here
yeah.
and worry quite a bit about it as Bears fans.
Here's the problem, though. If there's one week I would tell you to pay attention to Arizona Cardinals football, it may be this week.
Right.
When they open at home against the Lions.
Well, I will for sure be home from Colorado already
okay,
by the time
right.
that kicks off, so I don't have to ruin my Colorado trip on that one. It's just that Bears game that I'm going to be interested in watching. I'm assuming we'll stroll in a pub or something in Vail, and I'll be able to kind of keep my left eye on that one and my right, you know, on conversations.
On the mountains?
Yeah, on the mountains. That's exactly right. Now, how nervous are you getting ready for the season? I mean, it's weird that Sports Illustrated has you finishing last.
Yeah, I need to see that.
I need to bring that in for you.
I need to see that magazine so we can have a...
It's crazy.
Face-to-face. I just don't believe it. I don't understand.
Has the Bears last?
Yeah, and the North.
Last.
How do you go from 12-4 where you lose two pieces on defense.
Ridiculous.
And you're now projected last.
Because I flipped it open to the Central. I flipped it open, of course, to the West to read about Arizona. And then I started looking through all the other teams, and I get to the Central, and I flip the page, and it's Minnesota. And I'm like, all right. I mean, if Dalvin Cook stays healthy, you know, they've got two really good receivers. Their defense is always not top-notch, but always close to the top.
They weren't top last year, but in a couple years prior, they've been in top five.
Remember when they had the Williams kids in the middle of that defensive line?
Yeah.
I don't think they were related, but they were just really good. So then I'm like, I flip the page, and I see, I'm thinking Bears are next, right? So then I see Green Bay, and I see Aaron Rodgers, and I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then I look to the other side, and I see Detroit.
That's where you'd lose me.
That doesn't make sense.
And I literally thought, because a lot of times with a magazine, I go in and I rip out the you know, like there'll be a cologne.
Yeah.
And then on the other side is just this little white thing that's half the page, and it's the thing that's keeping it in there, essentially. So before I read any magazine, I make sure all that stuff's out. And once in a while, I do sniff the cologne thing because I'm like, that's not bad. Maybe I'd smell better with that, although I never wear cologne.
Well, apparently, the writers of Sports Illustrated were sniffing the cologne when they wrote that.
Because I literally thought I had torn out the Bears. And then I started thinking to myself, oh, well, that makes sense. They've got them first. And I just missed that. Because then I flipped back to the right before Minnesota. I'm like, maybe it was there. Nope. There it is. Fourth, the Bears. I just could not believe that. I can't imagine that Sports Illustrated, I don't know how they could publish that. And if they're right on that, then I mean then that dude or whoever did that needs to come in and chat with them.
I suppose the argument could be made that if the Vikings get back to what they were a few years ago and the Packers do the same with a new coach that's not going to stand in Aaron Rodgers' way, you could see the three teams between the Bears, Vikings, and Packers kind of all competing for 10, 11, 12 wins. And maybe if the Bears, I don't know, I can't even convince myself of that.
I'm with you.
The Lions thing is where you really
lose me.
Like, that just makes no sense.
I mean, they've got Matthew Stafford and what?
Kerryon Johnson at running back.
Marvin Jones is their wide receiver.
Yeah,
they don't have Ebron anymore at tight end because they drafted Hockenson, Iowa tight end.
That's right.
Their defense isn't good.
See what happens when you get an Iowa tight end on your team? You immediately get projected high in your division.
Yeah, that's probably the singular reason why.
George Kittle and the Niners going to win the West?
Right.
They did beat the Patriots last year.
Yeah.
The Lions did.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't see that at all.
Maybe it is the New England love with Vrabel. Maybe they just love Vrabel. Who's Green Bay's coach?
LaFleur from Tennessee.
Okay.
You get to say it with a French accent.
LaFleur. He played hockey, right?
Wouldn't it be nice as a Cubs fan for me to just have the toughest division in baseball year and then transition to the toughest division in football where you get beat up by the other three teams?
I've been through that, especially with Arizona had San Diego and L.A. got a lot better there for a little bit. And then the Cardinals had the Cubbies winning at a high rate and Milwaukee. And then my Blues had for so many years, like the Hawks and Nashville got better, Winnipeg got better. I'm like, okay, I'd love to play in just a bad division one time, but I've had that chance often with the NFL in the West. A lot of times that division has stunk.
Right. One of the arguments for a Bears regression is the turnovers because they led the league in turnovers by an astronomical number, and they can say, well, that can be a little unpredictable year to year.
And health.
But that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be any worse.
Health is a good point. I'll buy into that.
They had one small injury last year, I think.
But Mac was out a couple games.
Yeah, that's true.
That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be worse, though, just because you have less interceptions.
Correct.
Like, the defense might statistically be worse, but that's really not saying much because they were all-time great last year, right?
Well, and Trubisky's getting better, right? I mean, I would look at it almost the other way. I know what you're saying, Derek, because it's a great talking point, but you almost look at it like, all right, Trubisky's now really going to be comfortable in that offense.
Second year in the system.
Yeah, I mean, you get
David
rid of
Montgomery should be an upgrade from Jordan Howard.
Agreed.
At least Bears fans' mind.
You still have Tariq Cohen. You still have that defense. You still got Khalil Mack. That offensive line is pretty much intact. Not the best in football, but it opened up enough holes for Howard and Cohen last year.
Yeah, they're in that, you know, 7 to 12 range probably in the league.
And you're 1 year further removed from Kevin White. I mean, that's right there is a winner, too.
That's true.
Oh, my goodness. In fact, Arizona.
Didn't they release him?
Yeah, they did.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Well, he was hurt. Like
was hurt? No way.
We went into the second or third preseason game, and I was actually watching it, and they're like, Kevin White out this game. And I'm like, dude.
I feel bad. I mean, he's perpetually injured.
I know.
Like, he's never not injured.
Yeah,
ever.
That's true. That would stink. That would stink. I mean, we have a couple. We're going to talk to a guy, Mikey Dudek, that knew all about that, unfortunately, with Illinois. And now another guy will ask him about
we've
today.
We've had him on 2 weeks, and we've been able to ask him about two torn ACLs. Beeson and now Epstein.
Now Epstein. So we'll talk to Mikey Dudek later. All right, we'll go heavier on the Bears as the week continues, although it's already Tuesday. So we need to get heavy on the Bears, maybe tomorrow, right? We're going to do some Bears chat.
Yeah, I think we're going to have Mark Grody on tomorrow,
okay,
hopefully.
Sweet.
Great.
All right.
And I expect to see you have on your ticket for this week, Bears minus three.
Oh. See, I haven't even looked at the NFL schedule.
I like being able to include NFL, too. I'm running into a problem because, once again, just doing, like, early sifting this morning, yep. I've got, like, 22.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to stick to three this
so
week.
So I managed to narrow it down to 10 last week, but I might have to expand from six.
You keep the same win percentage. You can just hand them out.
I was going to say.
Maybe I should lower it so I can keep that win percentage.
I think what I want to do, because I'm not a better, I think what I want to do is act like I bet on like two or three NFL games and then wait till week one's over and see how I did.
That's fine.
Because I've never bet the animal that is the NFL.
The thing is, though, I think week one is one of your opportunities if you guess correctly, because Vegas doesn't know anything about these teams either.
Ooh.
You know
what I
mean?
What you're saying.
In other words,
I see what you're
saying. Vegas may think the Cardinals stink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Cardinals will probably stink.
They are
but what
stink,
if they don't stink quite as bad? They beat the Lions this weekend. They're
okay.
Underdogs. That's like, I'm not sure I'd call that a value.
Right.
But week one is one of those places where Vegas knows as much as you do about these teams, which is nothing.
That's fair.
It's just a weird line. Lions by 2.5.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is basically just saying anything.
By five, basically, because it's in Arizona.
Right, but I just mean a field goal wins the game, so you're basically just picking the Lions to win because you hardly ever see a team win by 1 or 2 points.
We did have somebody text in, Lions added lots of talent and Bears defense will regress a good amount. I would just terribly disagree with that last part.
Yeah.
And I don't know what lots of talent that Detroit added. I guess I haven't really studied it enough.
Their defensive line has gotten significantly better.
Okay.
But the only thing the Bears lose is Amos, and they replace him with Clinton Dix, who could arguably be better.
Amos and Bryce Callahan.
Right.
And their defensive coordinator.
Well, and of course the Lions will play an easier schedule. That's for sure.
And the
one
Bears
thing
play a harder schedule because now they match up with teams like the Chargers who finished in second. I understand the turnover thing and that. Literally at any point last year, if you sat there as a Bears fan and said, man, we need a turnover now, they got one. And that's kind of hard to replicate. But at the same time, I don't, like, look at the defense and I don't really understand why they wouldn't replicate. Maybe not exactly, but like, nothing's changed really.
I mean,
so
they were dominant.
When Khalil Mack is in someone else's backfield, along with Akeem Hicks, you're going to get turnovers.
Exactly.
You get sack fumbles. When you have Eddie Jackson playing free safety and the best ball hawking safety, I think, in the league.
Agree.
You're going to get turnovers.
I totally agree. I don't know. That's interesting to me. So,
but I could see the Packers, the Vikings, and the Bears kind of fighting it out with similar records if they all go like 1-1 against each other.
Okay.
But I don't see any way that the Bears finish fourth in this division.
I don't either. I totally, and that's not even ripping the Lions. I mean, listen, that'd be great if the Lions want to win the division. That'd be awesome. I'd be happy for Detroit.
When's the last time the Lions had an above 500 record? Mm. Was it like 11 or 12 when they went to the playoffs and lost to the Saints?
Was that the one dude that got into a fight, the coach, like that? Got into a yelling match on the field.
Schwartz.
Jimmy Schwartz.
He and Harbaugh.
He and Harbaugh,
right?
Yeah.
He kind of like slapped him on the back, and then they started kind of.
Harbaugh's such an idiot. He's such an idiot. Jim Harbaugh. But he's got a good team this year. Speaking of that, we're going to go around the world of Big Ten football when we come back. In the 5 o'clock hour, again, we'll talk to Mikey Dudek. We're going to do drive time later and get you ready for Cards Giants. We're off a little early. I actually did a little research this weekend on Cards and Cubs. Not that great, but basically 25 games left for each team. I'll tell you how many home and away each has and the competition they're playing. I'll kind of break that down for you. And then I want to kind of go through each series that these teams have, not individual series. I'm just going to read off who they play. And then I want your guys' take on these two teams. Of course, the Cardinals, a 3-game lead on the Cubs here on September 13th. So we'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. Around the world of Big Ten football, we're going to do next a couple of teams in the East, and we're really going to focus on the Big Ten West. I'm excited for that. You can always find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are also on all platforms. That's right, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also find our podcasts at TayandPiper.podbean.com. Stream us live on ESPNCU.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
quick advisory note, I-57 southbound is completely backed up and almost closed because someone drove off the Bradley Avenue bridge above it.
I hope that she is okay.
I was told to say that on the air.
Okay, I appreciate
it. FYI, don't get on I-57 south.
Okay, yeah, nothing worse than an interstate backed up. A lot of times you don't realize it, and there's no way to get around it. If it's in the country or something, there's always
you get
another
on,
road.
There's no way you can get back
no,
off.
No, so I hope everybody is safe in that. And, again, if you're heading I-57 south there of Bradley Avenue, you want to avoid that as much as you can. All right, we're back to go around college football, specifically the Big Ten. We'll do it next.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Your clients want beautiful floors that stay beautiful. You want clients that stay happy after the job is done. Home Decorators Collection water-resistant 8mm flooring, exclusively from the Home Depot, is a laminate you can stand behind because it stands up to demanding homeowners. They get the beauty they want. You get to give them a quote that will floor them. Home Decorators Collection water-resistant 8mm laminate, just $158 a square foot, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear. More driven.
As a farmer, your bank account should adapt to your seasonal activities. FarmWise is a customized financial services suite of products for all farm sizes. Checking accounts earning 0.50 annual percentage yield, operating lines of credit, equipment loans, and mobile online services. Heck, you can transfer money to pay down a loan from the seat of your tractor or combine. Don't miss out on FarmWise, brought to you by Prospect Bank, the Opportunity Bank. Online at bankprospect.com, equal housing lender, member FDIC, certain restrictions supply.
Hey guys, imagine if our podcast sponsor was Two Men in a Truck plus Lon. Hey fellas, I'm pumped to help with your move today.
Yeah, Lon, it's so good to have you along for the ride.
You guys have a great reputation for on-time delivery and careful moving.
Be careful, Lon, that's pretty big.
Oops, my bad. It's okay, I've got this. Ow!
Maybe start with the small stuff, Lon. Two men in a truck. A great move every time. And don't worry, Lon's agreed to stay on the sidelines.
School's back in session, and at AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to get your ride ready. Like our AutoZone Rewards program. Members get a $20 reward every time they spend $20 or more 5 times. If you're looking to reward your ride, get a 50-pack of Pro Elite Grab and Clean microfiber towels for only $19.99 to help you clean and protect your vehicle to give it a shiny finish. Visit us at AutoZone.com to start the job fast. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's the 34th annual Women's Fitness 5K Run and Walk, sponsored by Body and Soul Sports and CBJ Broadcasting. Come join me, Ash Moe, and the Crisis Nursery and Courage Connection on Sunday, September 15th at Crystal Lake Park in Urbana. All proceeds are donated to Courage Connection and the Crisis Nursery. Feel free to bring donations to these great organizations of personal care items and diapers. Thanks also to Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon, Second Wind Running Club, and Cozad Asset Management. For more info, call GNC Lee at 369-8553. Register online at secondwindrunningclub.org.
Take your home's interior from drab to delightful with the help of Tim Donaldson and his awesome team at The Blind Man. You'll find everything from beautiful energy-efficient window fashions and draperies to fabrics, bedding, and upholstery from exceptional suppliers like Hunter Douglas, Casimir, Duralee, Fabricut, and Carol. Let The Blind Man's interior design services team help you coordinate all the elements that fit your style and budget. Call The Blind Man Hunter Douglas Gallery in Champaign today or visit cublindman.com.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine.
and it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Honda BMW, they believe in letting you make the choice when you're ready. And now you don't even need to come into their award-winning dealership to buy your car if you don't want to. Just go to drivechampagne.com, click on the type of vehicle you're interested in, and look to the right-hand side of the page. It says Express Purchase. That means you can buy a car on your computer right now, only at the award-winning Honda BMW Express Purchase. Go to drivechampagne.com. Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hold on, let me tell you about CMI. Call Chemical Maintenance Incorporated for pricing and schedule your equipment survey today. Got heavy equipment that's not performing at 100%? CMI can help. They do preventative maintenance on wet and dry vacs, sweepers, scrubbers, and most commercial cleaning equipment. Preventative maintenance with CMI keeps your commercial cleaning equipment performing at its peak. Call CMI at 217-359-6262 today.
Let me tell you about that. There are so many things you just said there that kind of confused me. And that's why...
I apologize.
No. It's not your fault, and it's not CMI's fault. That's why you just put your hands in people you trust and just say, hey, CMI, this is what we need to do. I've got an office building we just moved out of. I've got an apartment we just moved out of, whatever. Can you guys go in there and just take care of this or tell me what I need to do?
Right.
That's the beauty of it. They'll give you this. They'll say, here's what you need, blah, blah, boom, done.
It's all you need to understand is it's clean. And they know how to help you out.
It is absolutely clean. All right, is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. And soon we're going to go around the world of Big Ten football. We're going to touch on the Big Ten East. Ohio State looked really good in their win, of course. And then Maryland, how about that, with Mike Locksley getting a 79-0 win over Howard. Must have just been Howard. And of course, then we'll go through all the Big Ten West. Some of those schools, I don't know. I can't wait until after next week.
Yeah.
So we can sit there and say, okay, now hold on a second. Maybe they aren't that bad, or maybe they're really not that good. Maryland would be one of those where I might say, maybe they're not that good. Mikey Dudek will join us at 5:05. Excited for that. Notre Dame got it done last night, but they certainly, I don't know if Louisville was a lot better than I thought, let me start over. I thought Louisville was just going to be atrocious.
And they were atrocious last year.
They actually gave Notre Dame a little bit of a battle. That quarterback was solid.
Yeah, I think that shows the coaching difference. Bobby Petrino there last year, and all of the talk out of Louisville last year was that they pretty much quit on that coaching staff.
Wow.
and just didn't trust the process.
Okay.
But no doubt that they changed some things up defensively, gave Notre Dame some different looks with blitzes, and they were aggressive, stayed in that ball game. Unfortunately for Trevor, didn't cover that 19-point spread.
By one. Yeah, I went to bed with about five left. I'm like, they're not covering it.
Yeah. You always hope for like a late pick six or something to really seal it. But
yeah.
I had a good plan, and I backed off from it. I said, I'm going to go the live line. I'm going to let it go through the first half.
Smart.
Thinking that Louisville's going to hang and battle. Then, of course, they get it. Notre Dame gets it to 7 at halftime, and the line's 14.5. I'm like, that's a touchdown plus another one, and they've been hanging around. And then, of course, it would have covered.
Yeah, I don't
it's
even
really
know
easy
to
do the live line during basketball season, by the way, because a lot of times you'll see, I don't know, Illinois is playing Middle Tennessee State or Hampton or something, and Hampton gets out to like an 8-0 lead, and suddenly the line's 10.
Right,
instead of 25, and you're like, heck yeah.
Oh, well, then I'm taking that.
And it's easier in basketball to kind of come back quicker, too. So, yeah.
That makes sense. All right, it is time to talk about the Big Ten, the rest of the Big Ten. We talked all about Illinois and their 42-3 victory over Akron. Good start for Lovie Smith and his crew. How about the rest of the Big Ten? We're going to do that right now. Trevor's got it ready with Around the World of Big Ten Football. Oh, no.
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Come on.
It's not going to work. And it's my favorite thing ever.
It's Daft Punk instrumental. How can you not love it?
Ah! All right, we'll just go with something else.
Clicking it. He's clicking it.
Let's use something else. I'm sorry. Right. I don't know. I'll have a little football.
Good enough.
We'll fix it for next week.
Okay, we're going to start with a few in the East before we hit on every single one of the West teams. Starting with Ohio State, they were up 28-0 after one quarter against FAU, but then they struggled to close out. In fact, on the rest of the game, they were outscored 21-17 by the Owls. They're now facing a ranked Cincinnati team at home. They just beat UCLA. Is there any level of concern with the fact that Ohio State, new head coach, new quarterback, looked good for a quarter, but then whether it was taking their foot off the gas or whatever, didn't really look good the rest of the game?
I wish I could say that there was worry, but it's Ohio State. And Justin Fields, unfortunately, while I wish he would have the worst performance of a quarterback ever in the history of college football.
Man,
notice I didn't say injury.
Jeez.
I just want him to have a bad year this year, and then next year he can be fine. That whole transfer thing just really, he shouldn't be playing at all. He shouldn't be playing at all.
Well, his waiver was that someone yelled something derogatory at his sister at a high school football game.
And I think she, or no, at
a Georgia football game.
A Georgia football game. And doesn't she still go to college?
I play softball there.
Correct. Yeah. So that it's, you're not, hey, Justin's I'm not
been
buying
through,
it.
Okay, Justin's been through a lot with that line.
Okay, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that at all. It's Ohio State. They got their quarterback. My point, though, is that he's not going to have one of the worst. He's going to have a really good season. You saw that early in that game against FAU. I think sometimes we take too much, and when I say we, I'm the king of this. We take too much into the first week of the season, and certainly Ohio State getting up big and then kind of struggling a little bit to put it away. I'm not worried about that at all.
No, I'm not as well. You know, if this was Oklahoma that was coming to town, you know, they just came off a series with them the last 2 years, and Cincinnati's a good football team. Trevor was on that one, picking them at home against UCLA. Luke Fickell, obviously very familiar with Ohio State, but Justin Fields in that first quarter from the highlights looked like Terrell Pryor 2.0, and they scored 7 points in the next two quarters.
Mm.
But this is still a really talented football team. Justin Fields, he's going to give Cincinnati's defense a lot of problems. J.K. Dobbins is a good running back as well. You're playing at the shoe. I just think that maybe it's closer than the 17 point spread is hard to pick. But as far as Ohio State winning, I'm fully expecting that.
How about give FAU a little credit for making some adjustments?
Yeah. I'm
not getting near that Cincinnati plus 17, by the way.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, the other Big Ten East team wanted to hit on Maryland. Their season over-under win total with a new head coach was 3.5.
Mm.
But then they went out and broke a school record in their 79-0 win over Howard. Do you put any stock into the fact that they had the most dominant win in school history despite it being against Howard?
Who in the world is Howard?
Right, exactly, right? Ivy League school?
No.
No?
Are they?
Is Howard? I think Howard is Ivy League.
Oh, so they are D1?
Boy, I don't know.
After that.
I don't even feel bad for not knowing. That's bad that is.
They're named after a dude.
Right.
Apparently, it's just a guy.
Not even a last name. Dude, like if George Mason was just named George.
Yeah, it's just Howard.
FCS team.
Okay.
They are
the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference.
They're not even close to the
MEAC.
The MEAC. I had them as an Ivy team. Who am I thinking of? Brown?
Yeah, that's fair.
Regardless, this confuses me a little bit. 79-0 is impressive. Mike Locksley can coach offense. We know that. That's a lot of points, though. I'm just going to chalk this up to Howard might be one of the worst teams in football, and I think we'll learn a lot more about Maryland in the next month. I mean, we're going to learn a lot more about everybody. I get that. I know everybody's out there saying, oh, boy, that was really poignant, Lon. But I just 79-0, that's a big, you know,
jumps off the page, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. This is a team that could run the football last year, and as you mentioned, Mike Locksley is someone that knows offense for darn sure. So
didn't they have like 18 quarterbacks hurt last year? Was that the year before?
That seems like it's been a couple of years running.
That's probably right.
But this, to me, feels like maybe it's Illinois, Lovie Smith's first year. They run Murray State, another FCS team, off the field.
Good call.
They have a big game coming up. They have a big game against Syracuse at home.
Well, that's
similar
right
to Illinois did against North Carolina. And maybe you don't buy in too much right off
that's
the bat.
That's a good comp. I like that.
That's a great comp.
So Syracuse only -1 in that game, by the way.
I was just going to say, quick preview to Trev's ticket. I don't know what the heck's going on here.
Ooh.
But Syracuse -1.5 is screaming at me.
Now, Maryland, they have had injuries in the past, right? In the past couple of years.
I think it was last year, the year before, where they were on, what, like their fourth string quarterback by game three?
So you almost felt like you never really got a good feel of who Maryland is and what their talent is. They had a couple of guys that were named, of course, first team, or I mean, to the all Big Ten team this week. You know, they do that weekly, but why wouldn't you on a 79-0 win? And by the way, Illinois had Palchewski and Doug Kramer both named to that team. So I liked what Piper said
Hinton,
there.
Right?
Jake, that's right. I want to see what they do against Cincy before I get out of hand on Maryland.
Is that fair? Syracuse minus 1.5, put all the money on it.
Okay.
Okay, on to the Big Ten West. We're going to start with Minnesota. Until 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, they were in jeopardy of losing to South Dakota State at home. Now they go on the road to play a Fresno State team that won the Mountain West last year and just covered against USC in the Coliseum. Did week one and how much they struggled against an FCS team lower your expectations? Lon, this may not apply to you because you already have lower expectations for Minnesota.
I'm not high on the Gophers. I will say this. South Dakota State University.
They're the same acronym, so I forgive you there.
Is a really, really good FCS, 1AA in my mind, 1AA power. And really, I mean, this is a team, South Dakota State's a team that could beat a lot of Power 5 teams, I think. A lot of the lower in each division Power 5 teams, I think South Dakota State could do that. I still just don't think Minnesota's that good, and I think we'll see it this week. They'll get beat by Fresno State.
Yeah, I didn't have super high expectations for Minnesota as well, and I agree with you on South Dakota State. They probably would have won comfortably against Akron, if we're being honest.
Absolutely.
Tanner Morgan, a quarterback from Minnesota, is kind of eh. But let's be honest. After this game against South Dakota State at home, and they struggled, and they needed a fumble late in their own territory to take the win, as an Illinois fan or from that lens, you're like, well, that team's beatable, just like they were last year. You go up there, and they don't scare you a whole lot. So I think quarterback play is uncertain. They're decent, and they'll probably be tough and tricky for Illinois, particularly coming off that blowout last year. But overall, I'm just not super high on Minnesota.
Yeah, and can I say this, and I don't know why, that I think it's just the Minnesota thing to me, and I can't figure it out, right?
I heard you on the podcast talking about this.
Yeah, so. And I just can't figure it out. But do you know that they returned the most returning starters of anybody in the Big Ten? 78% of their starters returned. So, and by the way, Illinois is third on that list at 75%, Indiana second. So Minnesota returns 78%. They should be a team that I buy into, but for some reason they're going to have to prove it to me, and I do think they lose to Fresno State this week.
Okay.
All right.
Fresno's +3.
Yeah?
If you think they're going to win outright, just...
I'm staying away from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe similar to Nevada and Purdue type thing.
Yeah.
A little bit similar.
Coming up next is Wisconsin. Other than Illinois, probably the only team that really impressed you week one. On the other side of lowering expectations with the Minnesota, Wisconsin won 49-0 over a Power 5 team on the road. Do you raise your expectations any for Wisconsin after seeing such a dominant effort?
Totally. I mean, last year they were just, kind of a meh. That's how Jeremy always said it, meh. But what'd they finish last year? Like,
I think they went 7-5 and won their bowl game against Miami.
Okay.
So I think they finished 8-5.
Wouldn't that be great for a horrible year? I mean, wouldn't that be where you're like, yes, we had
terrible year. Was terrible for
us last year. And he's gone. This totally raises my expectations. I know South Florida's not great. I had him a little bit better than what I thought. But, man, this is a team. And, by the way, on the old returning starters list, Wisconsin is fourth in the Big Ten, 73% of their starters returning this year. So,
did you figure that out?
Yeah, there was a...
That's impressive.
I actually went to a website and looked. So I'm trusting the Internet on this. So, yeah, I mean, you got a Wisconsin team's got a lot of people back. You know, I'm sure some of those guys in a 7-5 season kind of took their They kind of took their lumps a little bit. You still have Jonathan Taylor, who's the best running back in the country, I would assume. So, yeah, it raised my expectations. I'm scared to death now of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wow. I will say with transparency, I would have picked, or I did pick, Nebraska to win the West going into this year. And I don't want to overreact too much off of 1 week, but at the same time, Wisconsin looked really darn impressive.
On
they
the
were
road.
Dominant. And Jonathan Taylor started off his Heisman campaign with 4 touchdowns and 135 yards on the ground.
He caught two of them.
Caught two touchdowns. So it's tough for a running back in this quarterback you know, era of winning the Heisman. But Wisconsin, dominant on defense, can run the football. And if they can just get solid quarterback play, which they didn't get last year, but a decent debut for this season for Cohen, Wisconsin kind of seems like the favorite in the West.
They're tough. Moving on to Purdue, who surely won't be the favorite after Nevada outscored them 27-7 in the second half. Do you think we're overreacting? Because ESPN's FPI had them at 98% chance to win, even with like a minute left in the game. Do you think we're overreacting in a negative way to the fact that that was such a fluky choke job by Purdue, or is that a sign of things to come?
By the way, Purdue last in the Big Ten, only had 54% returning starters. They still do have Rondale Moore. They lost their starting quarterback. Sindelar's back, though, and he was a quarterback for quite a while.
Didn't look very good against Nevada.
He totally did. There's a snake around there.
There were several plays where you could tell that Moore was frustrated because Sindelar overthrew him.
Yes.
And you're just thinking Moore. You know Moore's thinking, oh, come on.
Right. And he's going to be shadowed all year, I would assume. You know what worries me in this more than anything? I mean, we talk about Jeff Brohm. He's kind of like Scott Frost. We've put him up already as the best coach that's ever lived. What worries me about this a little bit is that you were outscored in the second half 27-7. We talk about adjustments. Now, I have not lost faith in Jeff Brohm. I think he's going to do fine there. But that, just seeing that, plus the fact they don't have many returners, I'm not that high on Minnesota and Purdue. I think those are two teams Illinois can beat. And now I feel even better after week one of knowing that.
It is the team in Purdue that started 0-3 last year, one of those losses to Eastern Michigan.
That's right.
And of course, they ended the season by getting housed by Auburn, which I'm not going to fault them too much for that because that's just Big Ten SEC.
Yeah.
And you have a suspect defense. But I just think they still, that's the biggest takeaway, is they still have that. I think they're going to put up points with Sindelar, quarterback. Rondale Moore is going to be tough for anybody in the country to cover.
Big time.
Purdue's going to put up points, but I think they can lose games, especially their defense is suspect. And then, of course, now, are we overrating Jeff Brohm? That
right.
Maybe is a question that we're asking.
He's 13-14 at Purdue as head coach.
Yep.
And his last two games were what, like Auburn 80, Purdue nothing, basically, and Nevada beating him in a second half comeback.
And I know the quarterback or the coach before Jeff Brohm. What was his name?
Daryl Hazel.
I almost feel like that last year that he didn't get to coach, which was Brohm's first year, was the best he had at Purdue. In other words, that was almost like he had all those years to get those guys to.
Well, it was the culmination of his guys.
Yep.
Kind of like, not really, but kind of like how Bill Cuban had a good year with Tim Beckman's guys when he wasn't here.
I kind of agree to that. I'm not saying Brohm's going to flop. I don't think he is. And certainly Purdue signed into a long deal when they thought maybe he was going to leave. But I just think this is a team, like kind of like Piper said, they're susceptible each week to something happening. I think this is a team that some teams are going to get. So
and pretty tough non-con for them. They have Vanderbilt at home now, and then they play TCU.
Oh,
weird
wow.
Non-conference.
That is kind of weird.
Three name opponents. You don't usually see them schedule three in the same year. Brohm's at Purdue has like a weird bell curve thing going on where they start out terrible. Then they somehow peak with like an Ohio State win sometime in October.
Right.
And then they end the year terrible.
That is weird.
The problem is Illinois is going to hit him at the wrong time.
Yep.
If you look at that.
Never fails.
Never fails. Yep.
Brohm is like Underwood. He doesn't mind who he plays. It's like the better we play, the better, I guess.
Head coach Lante, the better we play, the better.
I don't know what has happened to me like
I like that
phrase. But it was funny because I started laughing. Literally like the last three shows, I cannot speak. Well, I can speak, but nothing comes to my mind. I don't know what's going on.
I still smile when I think about you saying the stinky, smelly line.
Smelly.
I need to put that into the intro on Trev's ticket.
Yes, I will do that.
Stinky, smelly.
The stinky, smelly came through.
I said that
Colorado
today.
Covered.
At my other work, I was talking to somebody about insurance, and the word would not come to my mind. And I'm like, this has been hampering me for like 5 days. I don't know. Maybe I'm 48. I'm officially old with regards to my weight.
It's fog. Long.
And now it's fog. Yeah, maybe I'm all fog. Maybe I'm going to go to Colorado and open up some of that. Kidding. I don't do that. Go ahead.
Moving on to Iowa. The
yes.
Hawkeyes were only up 10-7 halfway through the third quarter on Saturday until they pulled away. But they didn't cover, much to Trevor's chagrin, and lost their best offensive lineman.
Wow.
Now, we don't know if he's out for the season yet, but he was on crutches, and it does not look good.
Yeah.
So, do you still think Iowa can contend for the West after struggling for three quarters against Miami of Ohio and losing an offensive lineman?
That certainly doesn't help. I would have to study the schedules, and if I'm going to overreact to week one, then I say Wisconsin. I'm like you, Derek. I say Wisconsin wins, the West. That does not help to lose an offensive lineman, your best. Now, let me tell you what Iowa's got. A guy right behind him that was going to be really good.
Probably.
By the time he's a junior or senior, he won't be as good this season. I'm still not doubting Iowa. I still think that they, with Kirk Ferentz, I mean, they've still got Nate Stanley. They've still got everything else. I think Iowa can still get it done. I think this was one of those weird games. They shake that off in week two, and after week two, we'll be like, oh, yep, Iowa's
back. I think
they're
playing a Big Ten team week two, right?
Well, that's right. They got Rutgers. Yeah, is it Rutgers? Yeah.
So that kind of a Big Ten.
So, yeah. I think they'll win big in that one, and we'll be like, yep, Iowa's fine.
Yeah, I think there's every year one of these teams that's a contender struggles early. Last year, Penn State took Appalachian State to overtime and won by 7. So I could see this being a similar scenario. AJ Epenesa's still on the defense, right?
Oh,
yes. The defensive line's still pretty nasty. Nate Stanley, veteran quarterback. They need to get that run game going again. It wasn't the same last year. I don't know.
That's a good point.
They start after they resume Big Ten play. They go at Michigan, Penn State at home, Purdue at home. So that's a tough stretch there to see. If they dig themselves too big of a hole, maybe they can't. But otherwise, I think that they have the talent to contend.
Mm.
I feel like Penn State has played at Iowa like 5 years in a row.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Kinda weird.
That is kind of weird.
All right, next up, Nebraska.
It's like us in Nebraska. We play them every stinking year.
Yeah, I think there is some schedule to when in the year you play them.
Let me start up. Let me rephrase that.
You do play them every year.
We do play them every year. I mean, early in the season, every stinking year.
And Northwestern is the last week of every season.
Right.
Okay, next up is Nebraska. The spread was Nebraska minus 36 against South Alabama, but it took a late pick six for the Huskers to win by 2 scores. So they're up by 7 late in the fourth quarter against South Alabama. Is it time to respect Nebraska's defense a little more and criticize their offense a little more after the two kind of reversed roles in that first game?
I don't think I'm going to criticize their offense because I think they're still going to be good. I think their defense was better than – they looked better Saturday than what they will be against the South Alabama team.
They scored more points for the offense, right? Because they scored 3 times.
South Alabama was just handing the ball to them. By the way, Nebraska only returned 57%. They are 12th in the Big Ten in terms of starters back this year. I'm not going to criticize their O. I think they'll be better. I think they'll figure that out. Scott Frost after the game was like, well, you know we've got the talent to figure it out, so that's what we're going to do this week. So I think he will, and I think that defense will always be respectable. I'm just not quite yet on the Scott Frost bandwagon. I wasn't last year, and I was proven right. And now maybe next year when Martinez is a junior, I'll fully buy into Nebraska. I just think they had a lot. I know it's just you just don't bring a coach in and automatically win when you're trying to mess up for or you're trying to make up for Mike Riley and what he had done to that program. So I just think it's going to be a little bit longer than we think. They're going to be better this year. They're going to be a bowl team this year. I just don't think it's a team that I'm necessarily sitting here thinking Nebraska's going to dominate everybody they play. So, yes, it surprised me they only beat South Alabama by 2 scores, but maybe in a sense it didn't.
Yeah, as someone who picked the over on their win total, which is already high, is about 9, also said that they'd probably win the Big Ten West. I'm afraid maybe I'm a year too early on that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to buy in too much, especially in their defense. I'm just going to call it a wash because I think Adrian Martinez is really, really talented, really good. He showed that last year as a freshman. But, I mean, 3 of their touchdowns came on defense.
Right.
Or it's defense and special team to a pick six, a fumble for a touchdown, and then a punt return for a touchdown. So that's concerning that that's where your points are coming from because I don't know how good that defense really is. As you mentioned, it just seemed like South Alabama had 5 turnovers. They're just giving them the game.
I agree. It was weird. It was very weird. Hold on. We need one more song. Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly.
Well, Nelly, it's time to mess with Northwestern.
All right, we're going to mess on over to Northwestern, last and probably least. The Wildcats lost their starting quarterback, T.J. Green, to an injury, and Bowser.
Is that Trent Green's son?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He was in the stands watching that.
Well, you remember what happened when Trent Green got hurt for the Rams. Kurt Warner stepped in, and they won a Super Bowl.
Mm. Well, I don't think Hunter Johnson is not Kurt Warner.
Northwestern may win the college football playoff this year.
Hunter Johnson looked awful in their 16-6 loss to Stanford. Is this just another one in the pattern of an early season woe for Northwestern, or do you think this is something more that points to them not being that good this year?
I don't think they're that good this year. I think, you know, I love Fitzgerald. I think he's an unbelievable coach, Pat Fitzgerald. And I think it's amazing that Purdue just holds on to him. However,
Northwestern.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Purdue. Northwestern. However, I do feel like Northwestern on occasion just has that dud year, right?
They do.
And I think this is year. This is the year for the dud year. This is all looking really good for Illinois, guys. Maybe not Illinois beating these teams, but at least competing with these teams this year. It's all looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I am not sold on Northwestern, especially how Hunter Johnson looked. But, hey, listen, you give him now time to be the starter. Maybe he turns the corner there. He did get recruited by Clemson, so that's got to say something. But I think this is just going to be a mediocre year at best for Northwestern.
I'm not sold on Northwestern. I'm also not sold on giving any other kind of take on Northwestern just because they've been unpredictable.
They have.
They've had ugly starts in the past, and then somehow, some way, we're in the Big Ten title game.
And they were on the road at Stanford. I need to give them
credit
for that.
That's true. That's what I was going to bring up, is a 10-point loss at Stanford, a top 25 team. That happens to a lot of teams in the Big Ten, in my opinion. It's just the fashion that it happened. Their quarterback play was atrocious. Hunter Johnson actually started the game and got pulled in the last series before halftime. He'd gotten one first down.
Oh, wow.
He was 7-for-16, two picks, and then had the fumble for a touchdown for the baddest beat of week one.
Mm.
I think their defense is very good. It's just they're going to be in a lot of ugly football games.
Okay.
And if they win 7 or 8, I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's fair.
It's
going to
be an interesting matchup with Illinois, I think, at the end of the year, where defense is the strength for them. I think offense for Illinois, obviously, is how that's going
to
trend.
And I do need to give them credit for going to Stanford. That's not easy to go out West Coast, play your first game against Stanford. But I just still think this is going to be a team that we're going to sit in here more times than not during the week going, wow, how did Northwestern lose that? I just feel like that.
Isn't it funny, though, from an Illinois perspective, you're sitting there, would that Illinois team have gone to Stanford and been within 10, been within two possessions?
Probably not.
They score more than 7, I know that.
Yeah, they would.
But
they
I'm not sure they give up less than 31.
No, probably not. That's a good question. It's a good question. It's a good question.
Yeah.
That's around the world of Big Ten football. Anything you want to add to that, Trevor?
I think that was a pretty good wraparound.
Okay.
There wasn't a whole lot more to touch on in the East simply because you had wins like Penn State 79, Idaho 7, Michigan State boringly won 28-7. Tulsa did cover, which was a good call on Derek's part. But, I mean, you know, Michigan State's offense,
right.
Lewerke, they're not good. They don't have any playmakers, but their defense is good. I don't know. I mean, the East, it's clearly Ohio State, Michigan, maybe Penn State. I mean, they put up 80.
Yeah.
So did Maryland. Indiana kind of struggled against Ball State for three quarters to put them away. So, I don't know.
What's the early number Illinois has to put up at Michigan State to win?
At Michigan State, I think if they...
Good question.
I think if they scored 24, they could win that game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Agree. I'd say 20.
20, maybe three touchdowns?
Against a good defense, yeah.
Get Reggie going early. Yeah, I can see that.
I just know when Michigan State and Northwestern meet, scoring 13 would be running up the score.
Take the under.
Take the under on that. Can we set a rule now in college football that even if you win 79-0, that at the end your score at the end is only publicized as like 42-7?
Why?
Because 79-0, when I see that score, I'm like, that is so pathetic. That would be like, what would that be like in basketball? What's the equivalent of that in college basketball?
I mean, you'd probably hold the opponent
USA
to...
USA basketball Olympics game?
Yeah, I mean, would that be like...
You'd be holding the opponent to like single digits, right?
Would that be like beating somebody like 111 to...
20.
18?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 30, 40.
Okay,
I mean,
okay. 79-0 and then 80. I mean, Penn State gets 80.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just bores me. I don't like to see those. But if Illinois ever wanted to do that,
just introduce the running clock if that's your problem.
Well, right. And maybe that's it. Maybe we need to do that but I don't know.
But no coach, if they say you can introduce a running clock if both coaches agree, no coach that's losing is going to want to do that.
No, you're right.
It looks like he's giving up or whatever.
Yep.
So it would have to be like an official rule. If a team is up by 70 plus points, the clock is running.
Yeah. And Vegas would be like, although by then, if they're not covering
a 70. If you're not covering with a 70-point lead, I don't know what the heck the spread was.
Totally agree. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Mikey Dudek, former Illini wide receiver. We've got a game under our belts now, so I'm anxious to hear what Mikey thought of this Illini squad. We'll do that when we return. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.